Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all power, you called from death our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Send us as shepherds to rescue the lost, to heal the injured, and to feed one another with knowledge and understanding. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, for he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He leads me by green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul, and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
So I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are my shepherd, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You've anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lord. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. You may sit down, but don't go to sleep. I'm glad for the opportunity to reach here again today, and I thank our pastor, who's always been most gracious to me as a former pastor. Mary and I appreciate our friendship with her and her husband, Pastor Don. If you were in the parish hall early enough, you know that this week is the first year anniversary of her having come here. Seems like about 30 years to me. And I checked the Constitution. After the first year, we vote again to see whether she continues or not. And the choice of the lector today, I mean, that's one of my favorites, so this is a good day. And as I said at the first service, Pastor Marone is obviously experienced. I mean, when the gospel for the day is so difficult, and one can't come up with a sermon, then the thing to do is to get somebody else to preach. That's an old trick of the trade. One doesn't catch on until about the age of 64 or 65. Is it okay, or shall I preach now? Well, I'm going to try to preach. And the theme is Jesus the Christ. The text is in this gospel that we read. The Jews gathered around Jesus and said, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. We want to know. I'm looking it up so I get it right here. How long will you keep us in suspense? We want to know. That word is on the lips of many. We want to know too. Tell us plainly, Jesus. Don't keep us in suspense. Don't talk in riddles or parables. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. In the words of a couple decades old musical, "Jesus Christ Superstar, are you who they say you are? Don't keep us in suspense. Are you the Christ?" The answer Jesus gave in today's gospel indicates that the truth of Christianity is revealed in the test tube of faith. It is when we believe that we know. It is after we trust that we see. Believing and trusting come first. This is the way to know that Jesus is the Christ. What makes it difficult is that this is the flat-out opposite of the way we usually arrive at truth. In our scientifically oriented society, we start at the other end. We must know first. Then we can commit ourselves. Then we can believe. We must see, and then we're able to know. These things come first. It's as if all of us were from Missouri, the show me state. Show me, and then I'll believe. tell me, make it known to me, make it clear, and then I'll be able to trust. This is the reasoning of our world. The setting of today's reading is the Festival of Dedication in Jerusalem, sometimes called the Festival of Lights. Today Jews call it Hanukkah. Jesus was in the temple area in Jerusalem, the Solomon's portico, named for that wise king of old. Surely here he would impart his wisdom. He would tell them once and for all whether or not he was the Christ. And Jesus began by dealing with this need to know first. I have told you, he said, and you would not believe. I told you in countless number of sermons everywhere, by the seashore and on the mountain. I've shared the truth again and again, but you couldn't comprehend. You didn't catch on. It's like casting pearls before swine. Knowing in and of itself does not enable a person to believe. And this is not to say that knowledge isn't important and doesn't count. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our mind. And the problem is that the love of God is broader than the measure of our minds, as a hymn puts it. To know the breadth of God's love, to be able to know that Jesus is the Christ, requires more than the mind. In the book of Job, the question is asked, can a man by searching find God? The answer is in the negative. If we knew all there is to know about God, there wouldn't be any atheists in our world, but also there wouldn't be a God. We'd be on the same level with him. We would know what he knows. But his ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts beyond our thoughts. And knowledge in and of itself does not enable us to see either the breadth of God's love or to know that Jesus is the Christ. Long years ago, World War II, I was in military service. I heard a somewhat sensational sermon by a chaplain, but I never forgot it. He called his sermon 18 Inches from Heaven. He talked about a person who has a head knowledge of Jesus, knows it all up here, but doesn't have a relationship with Jesus in his heart. He pointed out that the head and the heart are about 18 inches apart and called his sermon 18 Inches from Heaven. I have told you, Jesus said, and you would not believe. Knowledge in and of itself doesn't enable us to know that Jesus is the Christ. If we can't know by his words, maybe we can know by his works. The things that he did and continues to do, we read this morning, my works testify of me. Going again to that old musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, it's Herod this time who says, so you are the Christ, the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. So you're the Christ, the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. Then I'll believe in you. That's all you need to do. Come on, King of the Jews. Jesus said, my works testify of me. And indeed they do. Think of the marvelous things he did and continues to do. Made the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, raised the son of the widow of Nain, caused the winds and the waves to obey him at the sea. All of these things, but they in themselves didn't convince people that he's the Christ. He said sadly, you follow me only for the loaves and the fish. Today those works of mercy continue in the church. The amazing things the church does in our world today blow the mind. The programs of support and health and education, raising the fallen, the destitute, the hungry, the sick, the orphan, the widow. One can go on and on. All of these things in the name of Christ. that there are even people involved in these good works who for themselves are not sure that Jesus is the Christ. My works testify of me, Jesus said. But the works, just like his words, do not in themselves convince that Jesus is the Messiah. How then can one know? When you read the gospel carefully, Jesus said, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. That's the clue. You are not my sheep. Sheep believe. Trust the shepherd. Know the shepherd. This is part of this Good Shepherd passage in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. I am the Good Shepherd. And Jesus said there, I know my own, and my own know me. Sheep know their shepherd. Even today in the Middle East and other parts of the world, when several flocks are herded into a common enclosure, perhaps for the night or a longer period of time, it is when a shepherd comes and calls that the sheep of his flock follow, not the others, but his sheep who hear him, who know his voice, who follow him. One must be one of the sheep. Must know that Jesus is the good shepherd. Must trust and believe and obey. We turned earlier to the font, which is the beginning of our life in the Lord, and it comes in this marvelous sacramental way to make us his own. The prevenient grace of God poured out on us. This is the sacrament that is always genuine. The United Methodists, you've been reading perhaps, are meeting in an assembly in Gettysburg this week and having a tough time with a homosexuality issue. The morning paper says that the main court has made a kind of decision. But it's a difficult question. Somebody put out cups of water and reminding people of their baptism, and there was a sign. This is a watermark that won't go away. It won't go away. God is always faithful. Baptism is always real. Baptism is always genuine. But, to use an old theological term, baptism is not always efficacious. What God gives must be received. Received by faith, we must grow in grace. We must learn and experience what all of this means. Maybe one way to put it is that we must accept God's acceptance of us. I brought a few quotations that I'd like to read. This one from Luther. The Holy Spirit must enlighten and warm us with his fire so that by faith we may experience and feel these truths. Writing about the sacrament in the larger catechism, Luther said, whoever does not believe has nothing, as he allows it to be offered to him in vain. It is necessary that you also believe it. The Augsburg Confession puts it like this. We must so use the sacraments that faith be added to believe the promises which are offered and set forth in the sacraments. Sam Shoemaker, a theologian, Episcopal priest, one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, despaired sometimes about people whom he saw in the pews. I'd like to read what he wrote. To go on practicing the sacramental life of the church as if one had been converted to Christ, when all that person has been converted to is a beauty or order of the sacraments in the Anglican Communion, is simply a form of idolatry and needs to be called such. Thousands of our communicants are being misled, not because the sacraments are not of tremendous importance, but because conversion and obedience to our Lord are also of tremendous importance. And they are not being told these things. Sometimes I think that in the Lutheran Church, in our theology, and in our liturgy, and in our preaching, we're too hesitant to talk about faith, because that will make it seem that we're saving ourselves. And nothing could be further from the truth. Faith itself is God's gift. Paul wrote in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. But Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You have not chosen me, he said. I have chosen you. Faith itself is God's gift. God gives us everything, extends it all to us, makes us to be his sheep. But in his parable of lost sheep, one of those sheep was lost. The Church of Sweden, Elizabeth would know much about this, for years and years was a state church. If you were a member of the state, you were baptized as a Lutheran. That changed a few years ago, and 255,000 people left the church. Now, I don't presume to know what this means in terms of their eternal salvation, but at least here and now, they are making this kind of choice. You are not my own, Jesus said, because you are not my sheep. In the previous chapter, the ninth chapter of John's Gospel, there's this wonderful story about a man born blind. The parents and the neighbors discussed this, who sinned, who caused it, all of that. Jesus came and quietly stooped down, mixed his spit with some dust in the earth, made a kind of paste, rubbed it on the man's eyes, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man obeyed, took Jesus at his word, went and washed, and was able to see. A few verses later, they're talking about the Son of Man. And this person says, who is he? Which seemed like a strange question. He was in the presence of Jesus before. Jesus' hands had touched his eyes. And yet now he said, who is he? That question is the key to this whole passage. When he was in the presence of Jesus before, he was blind. He couldn't see. As he took Jesus at his word, as he trusted, he could see Jesus. He could see who Jesus was. Some people examine the Christian faith, asking all kinds of questions, probing here, probing there, but stop short of the faith which would enable them to know. Others get involved in the activities of the Christian faith, but don't have that relationship which makes it possible for them to see. To know that Jesus is the Christ, one must believe. One must trust. It's in many of the hymns that we sing. Trust and your trusting soul shall prove Christ is your strength and Christ your love. The love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. I think it was 2 weeks ago we sang that hymn, and with one voice, we walk by faith, not by sight. These hymns to indicate to us that in order to see, we must believe. In order to know, we must trust. The man who was born blind was able to see Jesus because he trusted him. And then he said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. A verse of just as I am pops into my mind. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee I find. O Lamb of God, I come. We believe, and then we know. We trust, and then we see. We say, Jesus Christ, superstar, now I know who you are.